Welcome to the meditation class at Dhammaloka. I'm Sangharatana from Bodhinyana. And okay, this is a short introduction and then a 45-minute meditation and then Q&A. And I assume you've all meditated before because this is a more advanced class, so we're doing in and out breathing in the present moment. And I just wanted to mention a joke, a cartoon I saw in the New Yorker from maybe last year or the year before. If you're familiar with those jokes, they're cartoons. They're pretty sophisticated in some ways. When there's one cartoonist who draws people with a lot of hair bushing out like that. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but he always draws people with lots of hair all over them. And in this cartoon, a woman is walking in front of a table. Anyway, she's walking along and she's got a big frown and she's looking down like this and her hair's sticking out like this. And she looks very unhappy and she's just staring straight ahead. And at the desk that she's walking in front of without looking at it, there's a man who's apparently her husband, and he's working at the computer, and he's turning around like this, he's looking at her with a big smile on his face, and he says, "Off to meditation again, eh?" And it's like that, I think, that meditation now has a reputation as being a cure-all for stress and all kinds of unhappiness, which it is, no doubt. But, you know, there are other reasons. It's like if a person has some happiness, if a person has some money and they want to invest it, they want to get a bigger return, right? Well, it's like that. You can come to meditation and be happy with happiness and get a bigger return in the future. Light, happiness, joy. And in fact, you have to be happy, as you probably know if you've read about meditation or experienced it, that happiness is the basis for deep samadhi. Dukkha or sadness is not. So hopefully people who are coming, and it's certainly a legitimate reason, I have no problem. Everybody goes to meditation because they're experiencing suffering. So I hope someday everybody will be able to go to meditation as a happy being. Now, our main problem, as Ajahn was saying last night, is sort of releasing, letting go. And I'm sure you've heard this a million times. If you have a helium-filled balloon and you're holding it by the string, it won't go anywhere. But the natural tendency of the balloon with the helium in it is to go up. You don't have to do anything to it. Right? You don't have to push it. You don't have to throw it up. You don't have to climb a ladder and let go, or you don't have to climb a mountain and let go. The natural tendency of the balloon is to rise if you let go of the string. Now, we're holding it tight, so we have to let go. So there's muscles there, muscles and fingers. We have to learn to release. And like that in the mind, mind has a kind of hand that holds things tight. And we don't want to let go, but we have to let go. So the first thing, we understand letting go in the body, because everybody has experienced relaxation. You can tighten your muscles up and then relax, and you know what that feels like. And similarly in the mind, you know, there's something that's holding on to thoughts, in particular thinking. Which is what I want to address here right now, is that this verbalizing, that this thinking about things and verbalizing and mulling things over and over in your mind, going round and round, is what we want to let go eventually. And so the first thing to address is your body. And when we start the meditation, and I don't see a clock, so is there a clock there? I still don't see it. I don't. Three. Oh, I see. No, I can't read it. No, not a chance. I didn't bring my other glasses with me. Well, somebody, will you tell me when it's about a quarter? Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't see. All right, I have to get used to things. So, as I was saying, the first thing we want to do is using the body as an example, we want to learn to release our mind and relax. So, when we start a meditation at about a quarter after, first start out with a kind of body sweep or however you've learned to relax the body. Just relax those muscles, as I was showing, tensing up and letting go kind of gives you an idea if you're not familiar with it. Keep your body erect, but let go, let the tension flow out down your back and your legs and your arms, and I'll just let it flow into the to the floor. And then going into the mind, it'll be a little easier to address the thoughts that are circling around. And there's a very famous simile of the mind. You know, you've heard of the aggregates, and the one for the mind that's thinking, sankhara, or will formations. The simile is a banyan tree trunk, or actually it's not really a trunk like a tree, like a wooden tree. It's like more like a stalk of a vegetable. A banyan tree is like a banana tree. And if you peel it, you've just got a lot of sheaths that are layered in together like an onion. And that's another simile, very similar. If you don't know what a banyan tree is like, think of an onion, how it's layered together. And you have layer upon layer, but there's nothing in the middle, right? And that's Ajahn Brahm is always mentioning Bhante Gunaratana's simile, an onion. You know how an onion is put together, right? And if you peel it, there's nothing in the middle. But onion is spelled O-N-I-O-N. It goes on and on with an I in the middle. And that's what our mind is like. It goes on and on and on, circling and circling, but there's nothing in there in the middle except an imaginary I, our conceptual I. So we go through these concept formations on and on and on and on, one concept formation after another. And it's like a fly in the bottle, you know, the fly on the porch in the bottle has got caught in there, can't figure out how to go up. So it just goes round and round more or less in the same plane, unless you put the bottle on the side, and then it'll fly right out. But if you have it upright, it'll fly round and round. And that's like us going round and round, thinking that going through all these mental conceptions, this conceptual reality that we have, that we're going to find out what's troubling us and find the solution to our problems. But it's not going to happen really, because the problem is to get out of the mental conceptions, to get out of thinking. We live in a kind of reality that is conceptual reality. And if you've ever had the experience of meditating for a while and then going outside and looking at things and they look different, you'll see then a veil has come down and you're seeing more closer to what reality is than you were before, because we actually, by perception, we're actually seeing the results of our concept proliferation. You know, our concepts have become reality to us, not reality itself. So we want to release this balloon, going back to the original idea. We want to release it. We want to let go. So we have to be skeptical of our thoughts. And somebody just told me this, that a monk told another monk, who he had gone to apparently for a retreat or something, he said to him, you know, you've been a monk over 20 years and you still believe in your thoughts. And so we're not alone in believing in our thoughts. Does anyone here not believe in their thoughts? That's good. thank you. That's good. And generally speaking, we automatically believe that what we're thinking is us, me, mine, myself, right? We just generally think that way. And we have to begin to see that our thinking is not us, step back from it, and realize that our thoughts think themselves, and there's nothing thinking them. Our thoughts are not us, and not necessarily at all true. So we have to step back from that and stop believing in our thoughts, first of all. So there we are in a situation of meditation, and our thoughts are spinning around as usual. And what do we do? So we are attempting to meditate in the present moment and watch our breathing. And we catch ourselves over and over again thinking about things. And so we see, okay, that's all right. That's normal. That's what's going to happen over and over again. So we catch it and we see thoughts. These thoughts are going on and on, and they're not me. And just see that. And don't fight them. Don't fight them. Don't try to squeeze them out. Don't try to push them away. Just accept the reality of that and let it go. And let the thoughts come in like clouds and go out like clouds. Whatever comes, let it come. Whatever goes, let it go. And just keep returning to your breathing and the present moment. And so after relaxing body, set up the mindfulness in the present moment and watch your natural, normal breath. Don't, as you know, don't try to force the breath or breathe a particular way. So, you know, in the old days, they had these balloons that people rode in, the gondola underneath. And now they have hot air balloons, but in those days it was a balloon that had like helium in it or something, and they had these sandbags along the edge of the gondola, and when they wanted to get higher, they would drop the sandbags off. And the aggregates or something like that. So I don't want to go through a whole talk on the aggregates, but one of the aggregates, of course, is sankhara or will formations, the mind. What I'm talking about now, thinking, will, and thinking over and over. And eventually you have to drop that sandbag and then attain greater height. And then you let these go, you let the body go, you let sensations go, perceptions, thinking or will formations, and then ultimately consciousness itself, but that's maybe way in the future. But what a beautiful idea. So you go up and up into the light, and as your samadhi, as your stillness meditation gets stronger, your thinking will get less and less, and you'll see more and more light probably in your mind. I think that's common to just about everybody, that they see nimittas or light in the mind in some way. Maybe not distinct, maybe it's just a blob of light or whatever, but it's all wonderful for that to happen, and you can focus on that instead of so much on the breathing, if that happens. And you're coming into the light and deeper stillness and samadhi. And that's our goal. So think again about releasing the string. And releasing it is just relaxing the mind. Relax it. You don't fight the thoughts. Just let them go. You just let everything go and return to the breath. So that's close to about a quarter past, so I think that we can start 45 minutes of meditation and then a Q&A. Okay, and then I'll... ring the bell. And I don't know how much guidance this group wants or needs, but I will break in periodically when I think it's a good idea to do so, and try to lead us back, myself included, to our meditation. I might suggest starting the meditation with metta. One reason for this is the greatest thing that I found in my experience for relaxing the mind is doing metta meditation, loving kindness meditation. So you can do just a simple, if you want to, you don't have to, but if you want to do a simple meditation on the breath of simplest is, may I be happy. You can break it up however you want. The in-breath, may I be, and the out-breath, happy. And just go do that over and over, or may all beings be happy. So I'll start saying that, and I won't be able to really sync it with your breathing because everybody breathes differently, but I'll repeat that for a while, and then I'll go on, and then we can do a little metta, and then I'll say something, and we'll go to the breath meditation if everybody's ready. I guess the lights have to stay on, do they? Apparently, yes. Okay. May I be happy. May I be happy. May all beings 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 be happy. May I be happy. May I be happy. Continue with the metta and let your mind relax. If there are sounds that you hear, just let them come and go. If there are feelings in the body, take note of them. If you can, drop them. Just return to your meditation. Whenever you wish, go on to the breath meditation or continue the metta meditation if you wish. If you have trouble staying in the present moment, increase your valuation for the present moment. That's where your life is. Life energy is coming in the breath, with the breath, in the present moment. And you may feel, as you meditate, that you're more alive. Your life is really in the present moment. And the thinking and concepts is not a real life. It's an artificial life. And you may find yourself in the present moment that you feel younger. We can't breathe in the future, and we can't breathe in the past. We can only breathe now, in the present moment. If you're involved in thinking about something, some scenario, just see it and let it go. Return to the breathing. if you're involved with thinking and you see that, notice if some part of your body is tense also, your stomach, your back. Relax. Relax the body. Let the mind go back to the breathing in the present moment. With every breath, you're pulling this beautiful life force into you. if the inner talking keeps returning. See that it is not me, not mine, not myself. Let it go. Return to the breathing. Return to the present moment. Breathing in the present moment. Past and present, past and future thoughts or concepts. Be alive in the now. Experience the life force in the breath in the present moment. Feel the tingling, the beauty, the joy of the present moment in the breath as it comes in and goes out. This is a real living. This is really life. And the verbalizing has come back. Return to the breath. Build those muscles. Return to the breath over and over. Let your mind sail into the joy and the stillness and the light in the present. Feel the stillness. In these last minutes, if you wish, return to the metta meditation. May I be happy. May all beings be happy. No, I imagine that cartoon lady is going to meditation with a big smile on her face, because it doesn't matter if her husband spends more time on the computer than with her, because she's found what makes her content in the stillness and joy in the present moment. So I'll ring the gong 3 times, and on the 3rd ring, come out of the meditation. So now we'll have a period of quick Q&A. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, you have to speak really loud, because not only can I not see, I can't hear very well. So.
I know it's a quite elementary question, but what are the different theories for where the thoughts come from? I know they arise, but where do they come from in the cosmos?
Well, I don't have an answer for that.
Okay.
Because it's a rather deep question, and it's sort of like futile to go to get into it. I've never made a study of that kind of psychology. I'm not sure.
I just wondered if there was an answer sort of in Buddhist wisdom. But
well, one answer is karma. Mm. Habit formation, habits repeating over and over in the past, things like that. The future, thinking about the future from fear, thinking about the past from regret, thinking about the future because you want things. But that's not really what you mean, is it? You mean, where did the thoughts actually
arrive?
Yes,
sort of. But if it, okay, so if it's not I,
The thoughts think
the
themselves.
What does the fear belong to?
Hmm?
If it's not I, what does the fear belong to? What does any emotion belong to, really?
Hmm. Well, the 5 khandhas. Do you know about the aggregates? That's okay, well, the aggregate that we were talking about, sankhara, will formations, that's where these thoughts and emotions come from. It's a part of the mind, and it's will, chaitanya, will, and thought, word, and deed. And that's what makes karma. That's the definition of karma: thought, word, and deed. Doing things. Thoughts come out of that, emotions. I'm sorry I can't give you I can't pin it down more clearly than that.
Well, I guess the simple answer is it's from the mind, from what you're saying, and it's a function of the mind to put these thoughts out.
Yes.
That's probably quite a superficial take. Quite a superficial take on it.
What, to say it's a mind?
Mm.
Well, I don't know what else to say.
It probably doesn't have to be complicated. It's probably allowed to be a simple
no.
answer.
No, I don't think to go further in meditation and even enlightenment, that it's really necessary to know those things, even if they can be known. I'm not sure that it can be known, but I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's kind of like a lot of idle speculation that we can get into about a lot of things, but what is really important, you know? You know that in the Sutta, you know, the Buddha had a handful of leaves in his hand? You've heard that. Okay, so it's he gave us the leaves, the number of leaves that we need to attain enlightenment. But he said, you know, the whole forest is filled with leaves, the things that we could know, but we don't need to know. So there isn't much time. Anyone else? I could ask a question. Are there any reactions? Did people find that they were getting into stillness? Or were they beset by thinking constantly? Or could anyone give me feedback on that? I'm just curious. Anyone? Yes, what? Yes?
Last one. Good. Can you teach me about the four foundations of mindfulness?
The four foundations of mindfulness? The Satipatthana? Have you read the Satipatthana Sutta? The short answer would be no. It's too involved, too complicated. But I'll tell you what, in terms of meditation, what Bhante-ji always said, whatever is occurring, you don't have to go through them stepwise. You know what I mean? You don't have to go through the body, then the feelings, then, and so on up. You just, whatever is occurring to you in the moment, address that and see that in terms of what's called vipassana meditation, you know, where you're sensitive to the what's going on. Just whatever is happening, whether it's a pain or whether it's a sound or whether it's something in the mind, whatever those foundations mean to you, the body or the mind or whatever, that's what you pay attention to, whatever is occurring. It's not something that you go through like lessons one after the other. Or you don't need to. I mean, you could do it if you wanted to, but okay. It's not like a manual. It's something you know about and you learn. That's the way you pedagogically. You learn it, but you don't need to follow it during the meditation. If you can go straight to stillness, go straight to stillness. Don't stop and do what's called vipassana meditation on the body when you don't need to. And you know, you can see in that sutta that it says you can become enlightened with any of those four foundations, in any one of them. You don't have to go through all of them. Sorry. Okay? That's as much as I can say right now. Did people get quieter, stiller? Did you experience life in the present moment? Really? Yes? Good. Good. Well, that was the aim. That's always the aim. Yeah. So I guess we'll conclude, unless somebody has anything else to say, and come back next time. And is it once a week? Is that it? Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks for your inputs, Peter. Okay. All right.